Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church. This episode takes a look at the sermons from our recent winter revival.
We have. We've spent time analyzing Pastor Brent Lenentine's series of messages. Building through soul winning, Moses, choices in faith, and the battle in our walk.
And really, what he gave us was a clear, practical vision for the year ahead.
He really did.
So our mission today, especially for you, the learner, is to cut through a simple recap and really extract the core lessons on, you know, building faith, stabilizing your ministry, and just staying grounded.
And he wrapped it all under that banner of being fixed in 26.
I love that phrase, fixed in 26.
It's a fantastic summary. It's not just about, you know, surviving another year.
Yeah.
It's about being intentional.
Yeah.
The word fixed implies setting down these deep roots that can just withstand pressure.
Right. So the growth becomes almost automatic.
Sustainable.
Exactly. And the thing that makes Pastor Lenentine's teaching so powerful is that it's not theory. He's blending these huge historical narratives, Moses, Philip, with lessons from his own 37 years of church planting.
So you get the biblical example and the real-world experience right alongside it.
Precisely. It's a really dynamic blend.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We have to start with that fundamental mandate, building through soul winning.
Mm-hmm.
He opens with this story from the very beginning of the church, 37 years ago. I mean, a humble storefront. It's so relatable.
It really is. He described those early days, you know, listing all the services in the bulletin like the crowds were just going to show up.
But they didn't.
Not at first. He said that for weeks, on Sunday nights, it was often just him, his wife, and their two little kids, ages 1 and 3.
And that leads to this hilarious, but I mean, very real problem for a preacher.
Oh, yeah. He had to be so careful about his sermon topics.
Right.
He specifically mentioned avoiding wives submitting to their husbands.
Because his wife was literally the only person in the room it applied to.
Exactly. He didn't want to start his ministry by accidentally, you know, starting a fight at home.
So the real question for you as a listener is, how do you keep that fire going when the results are that small?
Yeah.
What kept him focused?
And that's the first big insight. He said the lack of results didn't change the foundation.
Okay.
The church was built on two non-negotiables. First, prayer. Quoting Jesus, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."
And the second.
The absolute centrality of the Bible. So if you focus on the mandate, not the metrics, you don't get discouraged. The primary reason to exist is just to tell everyone about Jesus.
And that focus on the primary mission, it just naturally brings up missions and sacrifice. He talked about Jonathan Goforth,
a missionary in the Hunan province of China. And this was during the Boxer Rebellion. I mean, an incredibly dangerous time.
A difficult place to be.
For sure. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, basically told Goforth that if he was going to take that region for Christ, he had to advance on his knees.
Wow. Absolute dedication.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Pastor Lenentine made this crucial connection for us locally. We respect what missionaries sacrifice where they are, so we have to make sacrifices where we are.
Which means praying, giving.
And most importantly, going with the gospel in our own neighborhoods.
The power of that local going is just perfectly shown in the case study he used from Acts chapter 8.
The Ethiopian eunuch, yeah.
This detail always gets me. This man was the treasurer for the queen of the Ethiopians, and he traveled 1,500 miles. That's a journey of months.
Just to go to Jerusalem to worship. The dedication is incredible. He was seeking truth.
He was seeking truth. But he was missing the key, wasn't he?
He was. He was devoted enough to be reading Isaiah 53, the prophecy of the suffering servant. But when Philip approaches his chariot, the eunuch asks, "How can I, except some man should guide me?"
So all that travel, all that personal devotion, it wasn't enough.
No. Philip was the necessary guide. And this is where Pastor Lenentine gets to that core doctrinal clarity. Philip didn't start with rules or traditions. He preached unto him Jesus.
Making it clear that salvation is only through faith in Christ.
Absolutely, not through religious ritual. The pastor was so firm on this, saying, it is not the water of baptism that washes away somebody's sins.
Right. Biblical baptism is a picture. It's immersion, a public profession after you're saved.
Exactly. It's the testimony of your faith, not the way you get it. And that clarity is just essential because any confusion shifts the focus from Christ's work to our work.
And that clarity, it leads to real results.
Yeah.
He shared two stories about ordinary people who became effective. Let's start with Irma.
Irma is the perfect example. She had all this passion, but, you know, no real knowledge of how to share the gospel.
She'd led exactly zero people to Christ before.
Right. But once she learned how to clearly present the message, the simple mechanics of it, She saw 42 family members and friends saved.
42. That's amazing. And then there was Frank.
Yeah, Frank was described as shy, socially awkward, not your typical bold witness type.
But he became effective. How?
He just learned to read and then later, quote, a gospel tract word for word. He wasn't relying on his personality. He was relying on the power of the message itself.
So this is the key insight for you, the learner. We often confuse being a bold witness with being a soul winner. What's the real difference?
It's the message. A bold witness, like the pastor's mother-in-law he mentioned, talks about Jesus, his goodness, his power. And that's great.
But it often stops short.
It does. A true soul winner gives the gospel, the specific mechanism of salvation in Romans 10.10, you know, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth.
And that's the message the devil fights hardest against.
Exactly. The devil will let you argue about secondary issues all day long, but he throws up every roadblock when you deliver the specific message of Christ's finished work.
So the takeaway is follow the Holy Spirit, have a passion, and stick to the message. The church have to fish outside the four walls.
That's it.
Okay, but that mission requires enormous spiritual energy. It requires sacrifice. Which leads us right into the second message. Moses, choices in faith.
It's a perfect transition because Moses' life shows that big spiritual victories start with difficult personal choices.
And what's interesting is the sermon starts not with Moses, but with his parents.
Right. Hebrews 11.23 says they had faith. They saw he was a proper child, a goodly child, and they believed God had a purpose for him that was bigger than Pharaoh's decree.
That heritage of faith is so important.
It is. Pastor Lenentine connected this to our culture today, where in many secular nations, you see declining populations because children are seen as a burden.
Right, an inconvenience.
But the biblical view is that children are a blessing, and seeing their God-given purpose is foundational to building a family of faith.
And then Moses grows up and faces this ultimate choice. He could have stayed in the palace. He was on track to be the most powerful man on earth.
A staggering sacrifice. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God.
It's a complete rejection of prestige and comfort.
It is, and the pastor called this the esteem factor. Why was the reproach of Christ a greater treasure than all of Egypt?
It's that eternal perspective.
It is. He was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He was looking forward 1,500 years to the Messiah's promise. He had confidence in God's faithfulness.
And that kind of faith, believing in a promise that's so far beyond your current reality, that's what allows for radical obedience.
And Pastor Lenentine made it personal, talking about leaving his secure computer programming job in 1988 to plant the church.
That really brings it home. He had a secure career, a good path.
And he took this massive, financially risky step based purely on what he believed God called him to do.
And when people asked him that standard, fearful question, you know, what if it didn't work?
His answer says everything about his confidence. He just said, I never considered that.
Wow.
It's not cockiness, it's conviction. In his mind, failure wasn't an option because the call was from God. That's the esteem factor.
And that confidence unlocks God's power. Moses saw the Red Sea part. He saw water come from a rock that followed them everywhere.
The insight for us is clear. God specializes in the impossible. But our ability to receive those miracles is tied to our willingness to make those sacrifices of faith. You have to ask and you have to trust before you see the result.
So we have the mission soul winning. We have the sacrifice choices and faith. But this level of action brings us to the final challenge, that daily internal battle. He called it the battle in our walk.
Right. If we're called to liberty, why is it so hard to do the right thing?
Because that liberty isn't license. Kaiser Lenentine stressed that we're called to serve one another by love. Love is the fulfilling of the law.
And he argued that this commitment to Christ-like love is why the Bible produces the best people on planet Earth.
But the reality is, even the best people struggle. So why is there this constant, intense internal conflict after you're saved?
Galatians 5.17. After salvation, you're in a fully engaged battle. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. He made it so clear. They are contrary the one to the other. This isn't a small skirmish, it's a war.
And that battle determines everything. Whether we're carnally minded, which is death, or spiritually minded, which is life and peace.
And the culture just screams at us that acquiring things will satisfy the flesh.
Which is where he brought in that story about Howard Hughes.
Such a powerful countercultural story. A man with limitless wealth, the means to do anything he wanted.
And he died a lonely, miserable recluse.
Proving that satisfying the flesh leads to decay and isolation. That is the death Romans 8 warns about.
So spiritual life really comes down to a choice. It's about what you choose to feed.
Exactly. That old analogy is perfect. The dog that you feed the most is the one that wins the fight. The pull of the flesh is constant, dragging us toward worldly desires so that you cannot do the things that you would.
Victory, then, requires purpose. It has to be intentional.
It does. Walk in the Spirit is a phrase we hear a lot, but it's not some accidental state of being. It's a deliberate decision every day.
It's a commitment to holding the wheel.
Right. The law acts like guardrails, you know, like the bumpers in bowling that keep you out of the gutter. But walking in the Spirit means you don't even need the guardrails because you want to do right.
You're driven by love for God, not fear of judgment.
Exactly. And to make sure we're being intentional about feeding the Spirit, especially to be fixed in 26, he gave three basic, practical Christian disciplines.
Simple but powerful. The first is Bible reading.
This is where God speaks to us. He urged setting a definite time and place with a minimum goal of reading the New Testament in 2026. It has to be a scheduled appointment.
Okay. And the second discipline is that link back to God.
Prayer. We speak to God through prayer. It's the other half of the conversation.
And the third one ties our internal discipline back to that external mission we started with.
Witnessing. We speak for God by inviting people to church and, more importantly, telling them about Jesus, delivering that specific gospel message. These three things are the fuel for intentional stability this year.
So we've covered these three massive pillars for being fixed in 26, all from Pastor Lanentine's sermons. The mission, which is soul winning, the sacrifice, making choices in faith, and the discipline, walking in the Spirit.
And if you connect it all back, remember the God who did these huge external miracles for Moses parting a sea, water from a rock. He is the same God who specializes in the internal miracle.
Yay.
He gives the Christian the desire and the power to win that battle of the flesh. So I challenge you to consider this. What specific internal struggle, what habit of the flesh are you willing to trust God to conquer this year through that intentional discipline?
That is a challenging and an essential thought to carry with you. And you can dive deeper into these messages and more by Pastor Brent Lanentine. His sermons are available on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Just go to faithwayfbc.com for more information.